Welcome to Scaling the Gap, the podcast for leaders who refuse to settle. I'm Madeline McRae, CEO and co-founder of ProQ. Here, we cut through the noise to tackle the real challenges of scaling your business while staying true to your purpose. Every episode brings candid conversations, proven strategies, and the kind of insights that don't just inform, they ignite action. If you're ready to stop talking about impact and start making it, you're in the right place. Let's get started. Well, hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Scaling the Gap. So today I have the absolute joy of bringing you a business owner who is so dynamic, so multifaceted, so many things going on. We are going to have an absolutely fantastic conversation today. And I'm super excited to get to share his story, his businesses, family, so much with you today. And not to toot our own horn, also one of our amazing clients who is doing incredible things with his business. So Clay, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
We are delighted to share your story with our listeners, and you've got so many interesting facets to bring to the table. So why don't you kick us off with sharing a little bit about who you are and the work you do in this world?
Absolutely. So again, my name is Clay Hafiz. I'm an entrepreneur. I've been doing this for a few years now. And I started my career in oil and gas as an engineer, you know, leading multi-million dollar divisions, and, you know, pressure was high. I was wired for it with my background, yeah. You know, at some point decided to pivot and get into owning my own business.
Yeah. So I'm really curious about what transition that happened that made that pivot important to you. Like, why then? Why that? Like, what triggered that? I'm going to leave this high pressure, I'm wired for it, corporate job, which I'm sure was awesome, right? And you were probably killing it, right? I'm sure you're being humble. And say, hey, I'm gonna take a gamble on myself. What made you say yes to that?
Honestly, the biggest thing was, you know, over time, I realized that I was building someone else's legacy. I wanted the ownership, control, you know, over my own time, you know, my results, my future. That's when I decided to make a change.
Yeah, I love that. If you're built for that high pressure, can handle all the dynamics, why do it for someone else? Right? Not everyone is built for it, right? It can be pretty darn challenging. So where did you take the leap first? And how did you decide on where you're going?
There was something about construction. I moved to Canada back in 2010. And never, you know, growing up, I never thought about, you know, using tools or you know, what tools were building anything. That was never, yep. You know, we were raised as, you know, you gotta be engineers, doctors, you know, all right. That fun stuff. Very, very different. And yes. I got to say, the first day I walked into my first Home Depot,
yep.
I met someone that taught me how to do something. That was it.
I love that. You got hooked on tools in Home Depot. I love it. I wonder how many other people have that story. That sounds like a pretty unique way to be like, and I'm going to start a business. So what business did you kick it off with? I know you have a repertoire of businesses today. So share with our listeners a little bit where you got started and then what you built along the way.
So the very first thing I did was new construction. So I bought an old house, inner city Calgary, tore it down, built two new homes. And that was it. That sparked it for me. That's when I took a moment to myself as I was building it to say, you know what? I'm done. I want to build something for my own. I'd get my kids over. As I was going through construction, they'd see what, you know, what I'm building. Yeah. They were super excited. Every time we go out, they'd be like, hey, can you swing by the house you're building? I'm like, yeah. So that did it for me. That was my very first, and I can't look back.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. And also the joy of watching it be built and sharing that with your kids. I think that so many business owners underestimate the impact that we have on our children just by having them watch what we're doing, right? Being excited about what we're doing, sharing that passion, even just the casual conversation in the living room or in the dining room or while we're cooking. And those little conversations kind of drip that passion into their life in a really special way. How old were your kiddos whenever that was happening for them?
I got three boys. They would have been around 13, 10, and 7.
Awesome. So just raise them up from the ground, right? I love it. I love it. Where did you go from there?
From there, I decided to start with my very first franchise, and that was Mr. Handyman. It's a neighborly company. I decided to go with Mr. Handyman, mainly because, you know, it's a proven system. There was, you know, a great ability to scale. And the biggest thing was the group of owners that I got introduced to.
Yeah.
Amazing, amazing people. Yeah. They've led me to where I am today for sure.
I love that. One of the kind of unsung benefits of franchising is that you do have that group of other collaborative owners. And because you're broken into territories, yes, okay, there's some competition, but it's really not the same sort of like, hey, we're fighting for exactly the same customer in the same house, right? So it's a collaborative community. And I think that's one of those really under-discussed benefits that yes, you get the system. Yes, you have the home office support. Yes, you have a proven brand behind you and the power of that brand, but also the community, the people. You've really dove into that pretty deeply. You're in, you know, different sort of boards and you take leadership positions. So walk us through that part. Is that just your natural passion for it? Does bleeds into that? Or was that really intentional?
That's a great question. I feel like I was, you know, groomed to be a leader, yes. You know, working for the companies that I came from. I always was. And I took that very seriously. I loved it. There was something about that. So I got to say that I'm blessed to have been picked, you know, to be part of the franchise advisory councils,
yep,
for multiple brands, you know, for different franchises that I own. And I think a lot of it is, you know, people see that I have that ability to get in there and speak for other people and,
yep,
and stand up and, you know, and speak to them. So I think I've been, you know, I gotta say, I've been blessed to be part of that for sure.
Yeah. So let's take a little side road here down the speak for other people component part, because for you, that just flowed out as a natural part of leadership. So talk to that a little bit.
Absolutely. I feel like I should always empower people around me. That's something that I've always done throughout my life, not just my career, but my life. People know me to be the, you know, the person that, you know, if you come to me with a question, it's hard for me to give you a straight answer. I have to give you the why, right? That's just who I am.
You're not a yes or no kind of man.
I'm just
show you the peek behind the curtain. I love it. I love it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm the kind of person that has to sit you down and say, hey, you know what? Why don't I explain to you the why behind it, right? So yeah. Why are we doing this? Why are you actually working on this? What does it mean? Not just to you and, you know, your individual role, but to everybody, to the system, yeah, to the people around us, to what we're building here. How, yeah, are you an integral part? I think that's a very, very deep in me, to be honest. Deep rooted for me to sit with people and say, you need to know why, and that's how you're going to succeed.
Yeah. Was that just innate for you, or was that something you picked up along the way as you journeyed?
That's innate to me. I'm that kind of person. Yes. You know, people who know me, you know, they know if you come to me and tell me what to do, it's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah. You
know, tell me why, and
yes,
I will go way above and beyond.
Yeah.
Just don't tell me to do something.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a really fantastic quote that I heard, and I dropped it in an earlier podcast this week, which is influence is more powerful than power, right? When you can influence someone, and the greatest methodology towards influence is getting into their heart. Right? Getting to the heart of the matter. Why is it meaningful? Why is it purposeful? People long for a connection to something bigger than themselves, right? As humans, we are communal creatures, right? We're not meant to just be solitary alone in our little space. We're meant to be in community, right? You see it as a baby. A baby does not pop out of the womb able to exist on its own. It's not a lizard. It can't just go off and catch a fly. It needs to be protected and nurtured. And when we can connect other people to that bigger picture, you're connecting right to their hearts through their mind, right? So brain and heart are in alignment, and that's what creates that really big momentum. So you see it in yourself, right? And the bristliness against being told what to do, like that's, I'm right there with you. If you try and force me, watch how slow I'm going to go. Like never will I ever, if you try to force me. But if you ask me, if you invite me, if you include me, ends of the earth. Here I come. Right. Love that. Love that. So where did you go next? So you got into the Mr. Handyman world. You loved it, right? You started to build that business up and it started to gain momentum. Where'd you go next?
So after Mr. Handyman, you know, once I've built that and I felt like I was in control of the systems and I built a nice close group of people that helped me, supported me and really are the reason I am where I am today. I then decided to move on to Bath Tuna was okay. My second franchise.
Yep. Awesome. What led you there?
Again, love for renovations, being in the home, serving people, being a big part of this community. I was looking for something where I would be able to help. You know, help my community, help the people within it. And, you know, everybody owns a home, right? Our home is a sacred place. You know, it's our go-to place at the end of the day. So I always felt connected to, you know, building something that would help people in their homes. And renovations and home services just, you know, gave me what I'm looking for.
Yeah, I love that. And I love that home is that place that you come, that sacred space. Like at the end of the day, that's where you live, right? That's where you have those big important moments, those quiet moments of being with yourself and making that home feel more safe, feel more secure, feel more reflective of who and where you are. Like that's a really beautiful gift to give to the community. And I love that you take this nobility of the home services so richly, because I stand right beside you, right? It's the industry I've served for my whole career, exactly for that reason, because you really do transform lives through their living environment. It's a pretty noble thing to do. So love it. All right. I know you didn't end there. You got a couple more to go. So let's lay them out for our peeps and then we'll circle back around.
Absolutely. From there, you know, Bath Tune-Up is a, you know, home franchise concept brand. Again, fell in love with the brand. It's a really great brand. People there are just amazing people, amazing people. Home office, you know, the support you get is just, you know, beyond belief, to be honest. And then from there, I went back to Neighborly. I picked another brand called AirServe Heating and Cooling. So in its name, you know, we do heating and cooling services. And then as of last year, we went and we picked up another, you know, home franchise concept brand, Kitchen Tune-Up. So that kind of completed the portfolio I have today with four franchise businesses.
I love it. It's like you're surrounding the home, right? You got it. Handyman services, bath, kitchen, HVAC. Like you got so many component parts. Anything bubbling up for the future?
There's always something bubbling up for the future, to be honest.
You're a person who's just going to keep on climbing, not satisfied with one mountain. Let's have the whole mountain range. I'm here with you. Let's go.
It's funny because I, you know, people ask me why, you know, why do you keep doing what you're doing, right? I mean, you've built something, you're, you know, you're proud of it, you're happy with it. What's enough? When's enough? And it's funny because years ago, I heard this saying that if you want to achieve something, you have to write it down. And you have to, you know, frame it, put it up, put it somewhere everybody can see. And then people will know who you are and what you're working towards. Yeah. And at the time, I was like, you know what? I sat there. I was like, I want to come up with something. I just scratched my head and I was like, what is it? And for some reason, unknown reason, I just sat there and I wrote 10 in 10. That's what I wrote down. I wrote it on a piece of paper. It was designed to be vague. You know, it was designed to, you know, people not understand what it is, but I know what it is when I first put it up because I wasn't sure. And that was when I had Mr. Handyman only.
Yes.
10 in 10 is 10 businesses in 10 years.
Yes.
And that was my dream. That's what I decided, you know, my goal I'm going to work towards. I have it framed up. Everybody knows me as a 10 in 10 guy. And that's how it started. And that's my path.
I love it. So there's something really cool about being specific, but also leaving room for the magic, right? It can show up in lots of different ways. If you have hyper specificity, it seems counterintuitive, but the more specific and clear you are, the more that magic can happen, right? You don't necessarily have to backwards plot every single step of the path because that's where you get too attached to the how and not as attached to that why, which is kind of where you started in that your passion for leadership being connected to that why. So for you, it's 10 and 10, and then how it shows up, you're kind of leaving space for it to evolve as it grows, right? So you don't even know what your 10th business is going to be, but you know you're going to have it.
Absolutely.
I love it. So I'm sure that with this aggressive growth plan, it hasn't been all roses, no thorns. So what has been one of those unexpected, did not see it coming hurdles that made you say, oh, yikes, that one's keeping me up at night?
Some unexpected things for sure. Despite the fact that I managed a lot of people and had a big portfolio of business back when I was an employee, the weight of payroll, that's a big one, right? It's payroll goes beyond, you know, the numbers on a piece of paper. There are a lot of families that rely on, you know, me and my family, you know, to be able to provide to them, you know, to them and their family. That's a heavy load, to be honest. I always think about that very hard. Like there are a lot of people that rely on me beyond, you know, that's in my community, right? It's heavier than I thought, right?
Yeah.
It's definitely heavier than I thought.
Yeah. So there's definitely something I was just talking about this with the other day with a friend. I said, whenever you're dealing with corporate money, it's someone else's money. And it's kind of like monopoly money, but real monopoly money, but it's not yours, right? It's something you've been gifted to shepherd, to grow, to augment, and to, even when you're building out your team, that headcount, it hits so different when it's your people, your employees, your payroll, your money, right? You talked about the weight of it. There's this level of responsibility that you carry, because when you say yes to employing someone, you're telling them, I'm going to provide you with the tools, the training, the resources to be successful in this role. And if they're falling short of success, you still have to pay them, right? And or train them up, train them out, right? Even when you have to train someone out, right? They're not a good fit. That's, you have to, they're losing their livelihood, right? And there's really a huge weight in that. And I appreciate your acknowledgement of the burden of it, because it is heavy, right? It's something that people think, oh, how lucky you're getting to build a big team. Okay, lucky, intentionally lucky, first of all, did that on purpose. And also there's the reciprocal, where when you're your own boss, wait a minute, you're your own boss. and then people then become responsible to you, and there's a reciprocity of responsibility. You're responsible to them, and you have to be able to honor what you say you can do for them. And it's a really big privilege. And there, I appreciate the acknowledgement of the burden, because I think that a lot of people, owners, carry that burden in silence. It sounds like it's a inconvenience or something hard and bad, but it's not that. It's that when you feel the weight of that responsibility, it's because you care, right? I do a lot of public speaking, and I had a professional speaker who had been on the speaking circuit for forever tell me one time, you know, I asked him, I said, do you still get nervous? Like, do you still, because I watched him preparing before he was doing a session, and he was kind of like pacing back and forth and had his little note cards. And I was like, dude, this guy has been on stage for decades and he's like getting kind of nervous. Is he going to bomb? Like, what's going to happen? And so afterwards I asked him, do you still get nervous? And he said, you know, I get nervous every time because I care. I want to go out there. I want to move someone. I want to have touch someone's heart. I want to change someone's life. And he said, Madeline, no matter what you're doing, if you don't feel that little bit of nervousness, if you don't feel the weight of it, you probably don't care very much. And so that the depth of your feeling of that responsibility just shows that you deeply care, right? Pretty cool. Pretty cool. All righty. So let's talk then. We talked about the unexpected burden, right? But let's talk also about the unexpected gift, right? You had this sense of, I want to build my own legacy. I have all of this capacity. I may as well use it to build something meaningful. You kind of got into the construction space. You're impressing your kids pretty hard and feeling the joy of it. And then you rolled into franchise life and started to build this empire of 10 and 10. What were one of the unexpected gifts of the journey so far?
There's a lot, to be honest. There's a lot that came from it. There's self-fulfillment, obviously. I've been able to achieve something that I've only dreamt of. And, in the last few years, as I see what I've built, it's very, very, very rewarding. I'm extremely blessed to be where I am today. Yes. People around me, I remember the day when I first started, it was COVID, right? It was COVID. I just got started everyone was working from home, and I was like, I can't work from home. I want to build something. I got to go rent an office. I decided I'll go rent this big office. And I had this plastic table. I was right here, plastic table sitting in my office. That was all there was. It was just, plastic tables, plastic chairs.
Yep.
And I was interviewing people. They'd walk in, would interview. And I was like, I remember day one, I hired one person. Now it's me and one person. I was like, yes, that's amazing. Beautiful.
Yes.
He lasted 2 months, but that's, that's a...
Hiring is iterative. It takes a couple goals to get it right, right? But you got to kind of make that, if you don't break through and make that step, then you'll never hire anyone, right?
Oh, it's, absolutely.
Right? Yeah. It's like perfection is the enemy of progress. You have to go make progress, even if it's imperfect, right? Yeah. So we went from a plastic table, then what happened?
Plastic table, plastic chairs. Today I'm just looking around me. We built this company with close to 30 people.
Yeah.
And I still remember, it was only a few years ago. I was just me. It was just me, right. One person, and we, one person, right. And another person. And now, I've got my family's working with me. My wife is obviously, she's my rock. Without her, she's significantly smarter than I am. She holds me back. She holds me down. She puts me in place. And she supports me in ways I couldn't even imagine. I wouldn't be here today. She's the reason why I'm where I am today.
I love it.
My wife is with me and my sister is working with me as well. She's a super smart person. She thinks she's smarter than me, but she's not.
I'm going to give the credit to your wife, but the sister now still some.
But the sister, no. The sister,
you know, no. I love it. I got to get the little sibling rivalry in there when we can.
I got to do it. Yeah. We grind it a little bit.
That's right. You know, that keeps your steel sharp and steel, right? Without the grinding, there's no sharpening. So that's how it works. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah.
I think that's the biggest reward that I'm feeling that when I go back 4 years ago, I didn't see this, right? I didn't see that. You know, my wife would be by my side. She's working with me day in, day out. I found some great partners to partner with on some of my franchises, and Mo and Rua, they've been amazing people to partner with and continue to grow what I'm growing. My sister is with me as well. She helps me, immensely in this growth phase that I'm going through right now. My kids, believe it or not, they come in and work. My son starts on Monday. Working Monday. So it's amazing to see the growth that we're going through today. And the fact that my family is actually involved and included in what I'm doing. It's just, I didn't see this coming.
Right. Oh, I love that. So your legacy building you thought was just going to be for you, right? Like, and you have the self-fulfillment, that self-actualization of what you dreamt. And now it's even just a couple years in, it's well beyond what you dreamt. So there's a phrase that I've always talked with clients about: living on the outside of your dreams. Right. When you're living a life that's beyond what you could have imagined for yourself, one of the things that's so important to do is to dream again, right? To make sure that you now have something new. Now you want, okay, now what? Now what? Because if we achieve our dreams, right, then sometimes that actually can be depressing because we don't feel that tension of something. You know, when you're a high achiever, you need the tension to help pull you forward. It just is what it is, right? I'm sure there's some psychological reason that I don't know why, but we need that, like something still to go for, something still achieve, that draw forward, that magnetism into the future. You have your 10 and 10, you're doing it, and you're living still outside of the scope of your dreams, which, what an amazing gift. And I just want to go back to that moment you're talking about when your kids are like, hey, dad, take us to the house you're building. You know, they're kind of doing the same thing, but just in a more grown up way now, right? You're getting to show them what it looks like to set a bold ambition, achieve it, and continue. But it doesn't come easy, right? There's a lot of hard work that they now get a front row seat to see what it takes to make it happen. And that's an incredible gift. Really, really, really cool. I'm curious, if you had to give a piece of advice to younger Clay, and, you know, looking back now, you're not all the way there yet. You're still climbing, you're still building, you're still growing. But with this amazing set of companies, this portfolio of companies you're building, 30 employees and growing, what piece of advice would you give to Clay as he was starting the build?
I would say I held myself back, right? I mean, I knew a long time ago that I had this in me to actually build and grow something. Where I come from, I'm not used to it, right? None of my friends or my inner circles or, you know, even my parents' friends were business owners, right? So I never thought about that even being a possibility. Yes. And I always told myself, you know, that's not for me. That's for other people. I don't think I can do it, right? So I feel like I held myself back because I kept thinking, oh, I can't do it. If I go back in time, the one thing I would do is I would have just done it. And I got to say, the whole time, my wife, Amy, she was always, do it.
Yeah.
I was the one that was scared.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it is scary. I think there's something so important about having models around you, having people who are doing those sort of things around you. Like you said, like your circle, your family, I'm in exactly the same position. There wasn't an entrepreneur in sight, right? A lot of engineers, a lot of cool people with cool careers, but no people who I felt were like me, right? And that was really hard for me to recognize that, wait a minute, business ownership is an actual real thing that I could do, that I'm actually darn good at, right? Like I just never, like you said, you didn't see it as a real possibility, but just you living your life. Now imagine your circle and your community and your kids' communities, you're actually giving this possibility, the lived real possibility, to a whole new range of people that wouldn't have even had that if you wouldn't have taken the leap. So go do it. I love it. All right, Clay. Well, with all of the ups and downs and these moments of taken the scary leap of carrying these heavy burdens, of having these joys of kind of lifting your community from the middle and being able to bring your family and your people you love together with you. Would, with all of that in mind, would you consider yourself to be successful?
I would. I'm blessed and successful, I think, yes.
Why do you believe that? Tell us more.
Again, I look at everybody around me. And I can see that, the people around me, I don't think about them as employees. I think I said that day one. I've always hated structures. I've hated structures. I mean, I have to do them. I know I work.
Right.
I work with your team and they make me do them.
They make me do it, but I don't like it.
I don't like it. My door is always open. Anybody at any time can just pick up the phone, open the door, just walk in, talk to me. I'm a very approachable, very open person. I will teach anybody anything. And I think, you know, that openness has made people around me actually care about my success more than I ever imagined. They would catch things that they would say, hey, outside my realm of what I'm supposed to do and outside the realm of my job description or anything like that, but I saw something. I'm so worried about you personally that I decided I want to bring it up and come and talk to you about that. And I don't think that would be possible if people felt that I was unapproachable or, you know, I'm the CEO. That, you know, you got to take your turn to come and talk to me. It's, you know, anybody can talk to me. And I believe doing that and seeing how they trust me and they actually care about where I go and they want to be with me. That is something that it's intangible. I can't really describe that feeling, but it's a very, very different feeling. And it makes me feel like I've done something right.
I love it. So whenever I have all of my guests, I ask the same question. It's my favorite question. I can't help myself. And one of the most incredible things is that every single person has a unique, I call it success algorithm. These component parts that you weave together in your own mind and in your lived experience that you look at and you say, these things added together to me equals success. And so I like to backwards engineer your success algorithm for you based on not just what you just said, but kind of on all the things, the little threads that we wove as we were chatting together. So I made a stab here, right? Like perfection is the enemy of progress here. So we're just going to have an imperfect one. And if we need to adjust it, we will. But let me give you a read of what I think I heard you say. And if we need to refine it, let's do that. Okay. So for Clay, success equals self-actualization plus the ability to empower others plus a robust community of high flyers plus being deeply trusted plus unlocking caring in other people.
I love it.
That is your personal success algorithm. If you add all those component parts together, you're going to continue to be able to live in that sense of successful prosperity because you're a community builder. And these component parts that you are describing are about lifting up a community, increasing the capacity for trust and for caring. That goes back to that understanding and explaining the why behind, right? Because you really want to lift people kind of from their hearts. And that's a really cool flavor around success. That's not how everyone experiences or creates success around themselves. So for you, success is a heart forward activity. And it's a community building, community lifting activity. And it's awesome to watch it happening in real time.
I like that. I really like that. So I'll let you in a little secret.
Yeah.
So I in my office, I have a poster that says, building a community where everyone belongs.
So
that really ties in nicely with what you just said.
Look at that. It's almost like I saw that poster in my mind, right? Here's what, you're living that poster. That's why I could see it. You're living it. You're building it. You're creating it in real time, right? And that's that, you drop this little tidbit. And for those of you listening at home, I'm going to just bring back a little tidbit that Clay just kind of dropped like a little bit of water in one of his comments, that when you want to achieve something, write it down and put it in front of you. Look at it, frame it, see it. You know, I see those, you know, words behind you, right? Your framed posters behind you. And even though we don't read it every day, what happens is our subconscious mind sees it continuously. And especially if it's something that's a future, what I am doing, who you are being and who you want to become, your subconscious mind does not know the difference between what is going to happen and what has happened, right? So if you say, I am building a community where people belong, right? It's going to take all of the steps to make sure that that is true, right? Because it can't live in the tension of saying and not doing, right? So that's where, like, show me your actions and I'll show you who you are, right? Where your actions are going to speak louder than your words, because your actions are aligning with what you truly want and what you truly believe. So that's where that putting it in front of you and constantly looking at it, it activates your subconscious mind in a way that almost nothing else can do, right? So that's pretty sweet. I have never had a success algorithm that someone has already printed on their wall. First time, love it. Mic drop. All right. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story with us today. What an incredible story of intentionally building and living in the moment of the success while still creating this robust community aspect, this heart forward, why forward aspect. So many cool little tidbits to take back with us. So if people want to get to know you a little bit more or follow you or check out one of your companies, where can they find you?
I'm on LinkedIn, Clay Hafiz. I'm not a big social media person, to be honest. Sure. So I mean, beyond LinkedIn, it's you won't find much about me. So.
All right. Fly under the radar. So you caught him here once on my podcast. So get it while the getting's good. So re-listen to the episode. It was well worth a second listen. And if they want to find out more about one of your companies, where could they go?
So on my LinkedIn profile, I do have my companies listed out there. Awesome. I've got my company profiles. I do constantly post things about me and about my companies as well.
Okay, awesome. So we'll put the LinkedIn URL on the show notes so you can easily find Clay. And also you can check out all the cool businesses he's building today and what he's going to have next year. Going to be seeing more and more rolling into the portfolio. So we'll keep our eyes peeled for that. Clay, thank you so much for sharing your time with us. So enjoyed our chat today. So appreciate having you as a guest today.
Thank you to you as well. I really appreciate it today, and it was fun.
Yeah, always is. I love it. This is one of my best parts of my day and week. I love it every time. So for those of you listening at home, I want you to remember to take a little bit of a pause for yourself and think about what is that thing that you want to achieve that you can just do it, right? You don't have to hold yourself back on the sideline. You can dive right on in. But one of the things you need to do before you dive is take a pause and make a decision. What do you want to do? What is your equivalent of Clay's 10 and 10? If you spend some time today to search your heart and find that, write it on your wall and look at it every day, maybe you too can build a 10 and 10. All right, everybody, make it a fantastic day. We'll catch you on the next episode. Bye for now. Thanks for tuning in to Scaling the Gap. If today's episode inspired you or sparked an idea, I'd love to hear about it. If you're an ambitious leader with a story to share, visit proqsystems.com, click on Media and Events, then select Podcast to apply to be our guest. We'd love to spotlight your journey. Also, don't forget to follow the show and leave us a review to help bring more transformative insights to leaders just like you. You can also connect with me, Madeline McCray, on LinkedIn for more conversations, access to our exclusive tools and resources. Until next time, keep scaling your impact and building a legacy that matters.